topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you, never let me go, and lay it all down again, to hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire, no one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you don't believe there's a Creator, be a good idea to examine that question and examine yourself. Why should you spend eternity in heaven with the Almighty if you don't believe He exists?" The Almighty has also said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" Again, if you're a believer and don't have much of a relationship with the Almighty, I would encourage you to consider that question. Why should you be in a place of esteem for eternity if you haven't done the hard work that's required in this life to qualify for that? Today I'm going to speak on two topics. Firstly, seek truth, not error. And secondly, we'll talk about the mark of the beast and why the mark of the beast is not the microchip. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Overview of tonight's talk: seek truth and not error, and the mark of the beast. We'll talk about the 6,000 years learning about evil and error. We'll talk about only one human being ever with no error. We'll talk about only one being ever with all error. We'll talk about seeking truth amongst the error. We'll then look at the mark of the beast and see that the mark of the beast is not the microchip, and learn what is the real mark of the beast. I would suggest for your consideration that a friend of the Almighty earnestly, intentionally, and actively seeks truth and eschews the mark of the beast. See the Seek Truth tab and the Commandments Mark of the Beast tab on the website for more information. Bit of introduction: who am I? James Robertson. Have a PhD, been serving the Almighty for 25 years plus, since 1993 when he audibly spoke to me, as clearly as you can hear me now. And I realized my life was a mess and I needed to change the way I was going. And I've spent 25 years seeking to know him and to draw close to him. What is End Time Issue Ministries? My ministry, vehicle for the website, email messages, internet publishing, this radio program, and our physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. This program is intended to help anybody who listens to it to make a decision to draw close to the Almighty and seek a high throne with Him for eternity. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Some questions from last week's program. You were speaking about abortion in some way? Question mark. Absolutely, I was speaking about abortion. Abortion is murder. And right from the second that a female egg has been fertilized by a sperm and becomes an embryo, it becomes a living being in the sight of the Almighty. If you stop that embryo from implanting in the womb and flushes out, that is abortion, it's murder. Any abortion after that, clinical abortion, abortive tablets, abortive materials induced into the womb, any form of abortion is murder. It's grievous sin in the sight of the Almighty. There's a death penalty for it, and at the very least, if you commit abortion and you're a believer, you will have a serious experience in hell before you get to heaven. Next question. Are you saying that once a man beds down with a woman he owns and is responsible for her? I'm certainly saying that in a spiritual sense he has certain key responsibilities towards her. He certainly does not, under any stretch of the imagination, own her. I find it very difficult to understand how anybody could place that interpretation in what I've said. And if I did inadvertently give that impression, I want to clarify that immediately. Man does not own a woman. The relationship between a man and a woman is a partnership. Each have key functions that they perform. They support each other. Strong man needs a strong woman or strong woman. Marriage is intended to be something beautiful. It is certainly not about ownership. In the way that some religions force women to wear these black things and be obscured and hidden and held subservient is certainly not Yah's will. Next question, can all of this apply to life in this time? Absolutely. It all does apply to life in this time. In fact, it only applies to life in this time. Where will we spend the afterlife? Well, if you're a believer, you will spend the afterlife in heaven. If you die with sin, unconfessed sin, unrepented sin in your life, you will spend time in hell paying the price for your unrepented sin, where you will be tortured and undergo a really horrific experience so that you can be cleansed of your sin. If you die free of sin, you'll go straight to heaven. Otherwise, you'll go to hell and then go to heaven. If you're an unbeliever, you will be taken to the lake of fire, shown your ultimate destination if Satan loses the contest, taken back to your body, and from there you may be transferred onto other human beings, onto animals, or you may just be left with your corpse in whatever abandoned wasteland kind of place that you may have died in. If you've died in the sea, your spirit will sink to the bottom of the sea attached to your body. And you'll spend a very long time at the bottom of the ocean. Not a pleasant thought. So really better to become a believer and to really seek to become a friend. Last question, do people come back here after death? Yes, if you're an unbeliever, as I've just described, you will spend until the end of this age on earth as a demon, as an ancestor spirit. The end of the millennium, roughly 3003, there will be a judgment. If Yah wins the contest, you'll be cast into the lake of fire and utterly destroyed in a moment of torment and terror. And if Yah loses the contest, you'll stay on earth, but all life on earth will die. So either way, not a particularly rosy prospect. So I'm going to talk now about seek truth, not error. We have spent about 6,000 years learning all there is to learn about evil and error. About 6,000 years ago, when Adam and Chava, Eve, ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they set mankind on a journey to learn all evil. They already had access to all good. As a consequence, we now live in the most evil generation that has ever lived, and we are surrounded by evil and not much good in the sense of what the Almighty considers good. Even that which we think to be good is often corrupt and good without relationship with the Creator is meaningless. So we live in a society which appears to be a good society, but it has no relationship with this Creator, and therefore in His sight, this generation is evil. So these issues of good and evil are far more widespread and far more deep-seated than it may seem to you right now, as will hopefully be evidenced by the messages that will follow this one, and in fact the messages that have already been broadcast. I would suggest for your consideration that a friend of the Almighty earnestly, intentionally, and actively seeks all truth. There has only been one human being ever with no error, and that was Yeshua. He lived a life without error and without sin. Yeshua, the anointed of Yah of Nazareth in Israel, who lived about 2,000 years ago, and who died to provide an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and to show us the way to serve Yah and to overcome with the prospect of eternal life with Him and Yah in heaven. Accordingly, if you examine me or any other person, you will sooner or later find error. So why be surprised? Why be offended? Why make a big thing about it? Just take note of it and rather turn to seeking what I might have is truth. The same principle applies to any book, to any teaching, any article. So I say again, there's only been one human being ever without error, and that was Yeshua. So believing that there are human beings who are without error today is foolishness in the extreme. Accordingly, whether it be your shepherd or pastor, your husband, your wife, or whoever, do not expect them to be perfect and without error, and do not be surprised when you discover that they do have error. For the same reason, when you encounter teachings, expect to find that there is error mixed with truth, or more likely, truth mixed with error. Refusing to read anything written by an individual because they have been found to have error is foolishness and will quite possibly cut you off from important truths. This is an extremely important principle. I see so many instances where people take offense at something that someone says or something that I say for that matter and decide that they're in error and then shun them, seek to be removed from the mailing list, do whatever they do, and they're so obsessed with the error in that person's life that they fail to see the fact that in fact that person does have a significant amount of truth, and it may be truth that they lack. There's a huge problem in that people get so attached to their errors that they believe that their errors are truth, and then because they believe their errors to be truth, they fail to receive real truth when it's presented to them. There's also a big thing about not believing that you are a truth bearer. I've come across people who have ministries. One individual calls himself Professor Truth, and yet there's a lot that he publishes that is in serious error. Someone else calls himself the Angel of Yahweh in the email handle, and again, full of error. In fact, it is so that if you give yourself some sort of appellation or title or descriptor, which implies that you have all truth, that you are perfect, that you're serving the Almighty, it is a blank check for the forces of darkness to take you apart and lead you into all error. So there are a lot of people that I encounter who are very fervent and very passionate and very, very deceived. So word of caution, if you have truth, by all means share the truth. It's important that you share the truth. But don't blow your own trumpet. Don't believe that you are without error. Pray prayers like, judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly, and things like that, to see that you stay on the right side. Also important to recognize that there's only been one being with all error, and that is Satan. So it is so that even extremely evil people have truth. They could not function without some truth in their lives. So the principles upon witchcraft and other satanic activities are based are also truths. Thus, if one is called to minister to people in those areas, one must be willing to sift the truth from the error. In the same way, as an extension of the previous point, just because you discover there's some error in somebody does not mean that they are totally in error. There's a huge issue, and I can speak really primarily for the Christian church because that's what I'm most familiar with. But as far as I can gather, this applies in all the other groups as well, particularly Muslims and Jews, but Muslims in particular with the different factions. One group has what they think is truth. They think that the other group are in error. They then extend that to say that the other group is serving Satan. And next thing you know, that those people are rejected and vilified and condemned as being totally servants of Satan. And so we see the situation where the Catholic and Protestant groupings, some of them have absolutely vile things to say about each other. People find somebody they disagree with, they find a bit of error, or what they think is error, and frequently they're in error. And the next thing, they're calling those people all sorts of names, saying that they're serving Satan, etc. You need to be very, very careful of that. You could end up in a very difficult situation on the day of your judgment if you make that sort of mistake. To continue, we should seek the truth amongst the error. It therefore becomes apparent that in searching for truth, one must constantly sift through error. As the wheat and the chaff are mixed together intimately and difficult to separate, so the truth and the error are frequently difficult to separate. In fact, we have grown up in a world so filled with error that much of what we believe to be truth turns out to be error. For example, most of us have grown up believing that the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth is the Lord and all God. It comes as a shock to most to learn that these are in fact pagan names, and it is only through the grace of our Almighty Father in heaven that He has seen fit to answer our prayers and have a relationship with us. As you dig further into this subject, you will increasingly discover that there are other things that you have taken to be truth, which are in fact errors, and you may even discover that there are some things you thought were error that are in fact truth. Again, it speaks to the different denominations, different religious groupings that are combative and vilify one another, or at best keep their distance from one another. So in Christian terms, the Baptists have truth about immersion, full immersion in water. Other groups have other truths. But we get into a situation where people go around in a very ugly and unpleasant way, vilifying one another. We should be looking for truth. And where we find error, we should not be surprised to find error. So just take the truth and move on. One of the things that I've done repeatedly over the last 25 years is to take the truth and move on. Find a bit of truth here, paragraph of truth in a book, take the book, read the paragraph, move on. Meet a church, bit of truth there, take the truth, move on. Don't get sucked into institutionalizing your error. So focus on truth, do not focus on error. In all of this, focus on the truth. Do not focus on the error. Take it for granted that the error is there, be it in you, your pastor, your wife, your husband, or any other person you might be inclined to put on some sort of pedestal. Yeshua said, it's Jesus, as you may know, but his correct name is Yeshua, said in Matatiahu, Matthew, which means gift of Yah, I do not judge, in chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, I do not judge, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the same principle. Do not look for error in others. Deal with your own error and look to errors for truth that will help you to find your error and deal with it. As a general principle, do not talk about error, share truth. Do not talk about error. Do not gossip and tell others about the errors you found in people. If you cannot talk well of someone, rather say nothing. Websites, email lists, and other publications that seek to expose the error of others are doing the work of the accuser, and those people will find themselves demonized and on the side of Satan. Unless specifically you are just clinically reporting facts and not getting into judgments and demonizing people, and you are allowing people to make quality decisions for themselves. The more you look at the works of Satan in people, the more you will begin to look like him and learn his ways. The more you broadcast about evil, the more you will be sucked into it. I can't stress this enough. So many people I encounter are offended by people's errors. There are whole websites and books and publications of all sorts and mailing lists shouting and screaming about other people's error or perceived error. And yet the people who are making that fuss, the people who are making that noise, the people who are publishing those things are frequently in huge error themselves. And the more they go around trumpeting about the error of others, the more the forces of darkness get the right to get a judgment against them, to lead them deeper and deeper into error and deception. And it's really a big mess. So don't talk about error. Don't get sucked into discussion groups about error. Don't share the latest bit of juicy news about the error of so-and-so. Or did you know that brother so-and-so did this? Just share truth, or what you perceive to be truth. Don't ram it down people's throats. Just share it gently and meekly. And let Father work with those people to receive what you have. So on that point, do not talk about error. Share truth. Where you encounter error and Yah clearly instructs you to make it known, then do only what he tells you to do, no more and no less. Otherwise, just ignore it and either stop associating with that person if you're unable to do anything to constructively influence them, or their error offends you, or focus on what is right in that person and ignore the error. Just do not take it on board yourself. Then talk about the truth that you believe you have, and if you're attacked, just leave it. It's not your job to force your truths onto others. It is your job to sow what you have to sow and leave it to Yah to water and bring the seed to fruition. I can't stress that enough. Going around standing on soapboxes and condemning people and shouting at people, and apart from anything else, telling believers all sorts of things, unbelievers all sorts of things, is not helpful. As I said in my last message, there's absolutely no point in telling an unbeliever that they're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. It doesn't make any difference. They are breaking the great commandment, which is to love the Almighty. Beyond that, everything else is irrelevant. And if you have a message for believers, don't ram it down their throats. Share it with them gently and meekly. And then back off and leave it to Father. Leave it to them to mull over it and see what they have to say. So in conclusion, I appeal to all who listen to this to focus on truth and not on error. It does not matter how offensive you find someone's error. They have truth hidden somewhere. If you are called to find truth, then seek it. If not, either move on or avoid getting sucked into error. At the same time, realize that you probably have less truth than you think, and look constantly for truth which others have, which you lack. And remember, you may find truth in strange places. I've had situations, for example, I think I've shared previously that when I came back to serving the Almighty in 1993, one of the things that I did was to take a Bible and hold it up and say, Father, these people say this is your word. I don't understand it. I choose to believe that it's your word, and I ask you to answer all my questions. in the years that followed, I also concluded when I came back to Father that my intellect and my reasoning had got me into the mess I was in, and therefore I needed to be guided by Father in a deep way to avoid slipping back into that same mess. And so I constantly asked questions. I filled, in a space of about 8 years, I filled about 1,400-page notebooks with my questions and the answers that I was given. On one occasion, I was in a taxi cab driving through London and past Foyle's bookshop, and the Spirit of the Almighty said to me, "There's a book in there that you need to read." So I went back to Foyle's a few days later, and Father said to me, "Go up to the third floor, or go to the antiquities department," which was on the third floor. Went to the antiquities department. He said, "That bookshelf over there," went to that bookshelf. And as I ran my hand along the spines of the books on the shelves, eventually I was impressed to take a particular book off the shelf. I opened it, and where I opened it was the answer to a question that I'd asked sometime previously. So if you really start seeking truth, and if you really start seeking a deep relationship with Father, and if you really start seeking to be led by His Spirit in every possible way, every day, you will find that you get answers in all sorts of unpredictable ways. There is nothing that restricts Him in any way to how He gets information to you, other than how you are willing to be led in order to get that information. So if you're able to travel halfway around the world to get some important truth, then so be it. Just be sensitive enough when you get there to realize that that's why you're there, not the reason that you thought you were there. If you talk to somebody, pick somebody up, a hitchhiker, for example, be open to the possibility that they might know something that you need to know. If you go to some assembly somewhere, be open to the possibility that something in the message that you hear may be something that you need to hear. Be constantly looking for truth. Document the truths that you find. If you're that way inclined, publish the truths that you find. Make them available to others. Share them with others. Become a truth seeker. Can't stress this enough. Seek truth, not error. I fairly regularly say to people, "Why are you so offended by this person's error? Why are you surprised that people have error? Why are you surprised at the evil in the world? This is the most evil generation that's ever lived, and yet I have people constantly exclaiming and shouting about how evil and wicked the world is. Yes, it is evil and wicked, but stop looking at that. Look to Father. Form a deep relationship with Him and get on with leading your life." So to wrap up, seek truth, not error, no matter what it takes. Pray, "Father, lead me into all truth by Your Spirit," regularly, and then be sensitive to the leading of His Spirit. This is a journey that will take you years. Pray, "Father, show me the level of my present deception," regularly, and again, be sensitive to the leading of His Spirit. And again, this will take years. My publications can help you. My website, you can contact me for the books. Pray, "Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve You more perfectly." Pray that regularly, and again, this will take years to really clean up your act. Fast and pray. Can't stress it enough. So I want to move on to the mark of the beast. In 2000, I asked Father about the mark of the beast. I'd read various articles relating to the microchip as the mark of the beast, and since I'm in the computer field, they did not make sense. In my experience of implementing computer-based solutions, the chances of getting all people to cooperate so that a microchip became a universal medium of exchange throughout the world, including the most remote and underprivileged areas, was unfeasible from both a technical and human perspective. Some of the claims also made for the chip also verged on the magical. I've been involved in the use of computers in business since 1981 and been exposed to computers since 1973. I've had my own business consulting on the effective application of computer systems in business since 1989. One of the key aspects of my learning in this period is that it's hugely challenging to get people in even quite a small organization to do things uniformly and consistently, comply with policies, and use computer-based technology effectively. I can't stress the point. For the mark of the beast to be the biblical mark of the beast, it must be universally available to everybody on the planet at the same moment in time and not be a function of their income. If they're living on some remote island in the middle of the Pacific, they should have just as much ability to get the mark of the beast as somebody living in a modern Western city. If it doesn't satisfy that criterion, it's not the mark of the beast. To continue, I've been writing and speaking about the factors that give rise to information technology investment failure since 1991 and have ordered and evaluated dozens of underperforming and failed information technology projects. I've also successfully managed and run a diversity of IT projects. I've written a book on the subject, spoken at over 90 conferences locally and overseas, written technical papers, and so forth. So I know firsthand just how hard it is to get people to cooperate and work effectively with technology. Human beings are ingenious, creative, entrepreneurial, and they do not submit easily to draconian legislation. Somebody tries to prevent people buying or selling based on some piece of technology, the potential of human beings to sabotage the project is huge. There is so much going on about people who are saying, we can't have the microchip. The microchip's the mark of the beast. Going to live in remote areas, trying to prepare themselves in a situation where they won't be able to buy and sell. Folks, it just doesn't make any sense. We're talking about spiritual matters here. And here we're putting a little bit of silicone in a capsule and implanting it in a person's forehead or in their wrist, and we're saying that this has some spiritual significance. It's just not the case. Going further in terms of my IT experience is something that I call information technology mythology. In my work, I found that 30% of what causes IT projects to fail is what I term IT mythology. The tendency of human beings to believe that they can get computers to do anything they can think of, and to think that they can implement any piece of technology any way they like, and it will do what they can imagine. The whole concept of the microchip being used to control the world stinks of this. I can't stress this enough, folks. It's just a piece of technology. It's a piece of inert silicone and plastic and other materials. With some capacity to generate electric currents and to be read by scanners. And it's not the mark that is talked about in the book of Revelation. It really is not. It can't be, folks. There are other factors that cause IT investment failure, which include lack of executive custody and poor governance, which cause about another 20% of failures. And then lack of strategic alignment, which contributes another 15% of failures. In order to make the mark of the beast be the biblical mark, it would have to be implemented across the world at the same time in every country, even in the most remote outlying areas of people living in forests and what have you. It would have to be implemented in such a way that there was not a single human being above the age of 13 that was without the mark, or without the opportunity to get the mark. If we look at lack of executive custody and poor governance, the world has failed singularly to date to achieve anything that begins to approximate one world government or even alignment between governments. Just when it looks like one group is going to dominate, then something happens and another group starts to rise up. Look at Britain leaving the European Union, which is very current right now. People speculate about the Illuminati who will take over. That is, that the small number of people in the world who truly are demon-possessed will in some strange way manage to coordinate things so effectively that they will do something that has never before been accomplished in the earth. In the meantime, presumably the anointed ones, Yah's men and women filled with his spirit, will sit back and do nothing. I don't think so. Satan would love us to believe this and to cave in and submit, but it is not likely to happen. Father has his own plans to have his anointed ones rule on earth with his spirit for the next 1,000 years, and has quietly had his prophets going around anointing people as kings in terms of Revelation 20 verse 6. Those anointed people are in direct opposition to the Illuminati or the Illuminated Ones, and are advising kings and governments, and fighting intense spiritual warfare, and in numerous ways seeking to restore the kingdom of Yah on earth. But the battle is not in the physical realm. I can't stress this enough. It is in the spiritual realm. It is being fought by the satanic and demonic forces that serve Satan and his human servants, and by the anointed men and women of Yah and the messengers or angels of Yah, and by Yah's spirit and his servants. Continuing on executive custody and governance, remember that all authority on earth was given to Adam and the sons of Adam, so both Satan and Yah are constrained to wage war through the spirits that operate in human beings. At the moment, the forces of darkness are winning hands down. The earth is in a shambles spiritually. Yah's servants are struggling to survive. Many have been badly beaten up, and only about 5,000 are really having an impact in the spiritual realm. And there are other problems facing those people. The satanic forces are concentrating most of their energy on destroying those few really effective ones, and they have various devices that are effectively neutralizing or at least sabotaging most of the true anointed believers. Folks, human beings reign on earth. Talk of all sorts of things like shapeshifters and strange ideas that there's clones and non-human human beings are just not right. It's just not possible. A clone, a copy of a human being, cannot have a spirit, because the spirit is put in there by the Almighty. And if it doesn't have a human spirit and it doesn't have a human father, it has no authority on earth. In the same way, some so-called extraterrestrial being that's come from another planet, even if such things did exist, which I don't believe they do, certainly not in the sense that they're operating on earth, they would have no authority. They would not be able to do anything. They would not be able to rule on earth the way some people are suggesting. We need to be clear on what the real issues are. If we look at lack of strategic alignment, lack of alignment on the essence of why the sons of Adam exist and how they thrive, this is a continuation of the previous point. One of the key elements of my business relates to the strategic application of information technology, and that in turn focuses on the essence of the business and how it thrives. Microchips are not aligned with the essence of Adam's or man's existence on earth, and do not help humankind to survive. Many human beings realize this, so using this to control the world is unlikely to happen. There are so many people today who are adamant that they're going to refuse to receive the microchip. There are other people who suggest that governments are going to guillotine people who won't receive the microchip. There are all sorts of hysterical reports. And maybe some of these things are true, but they're not going to give control of the earth to some strange group of people. It's not what it's about. Satan is not interested in human control of the earth. Satan is interested in spiritual control of the earth, and he has spiritual control of the earth. He just needs to destroy the last few true believers and do it in such a way that they don't rise up again, and he's won the contest, or his followers have won the contest. This is all not to say that there are not people who think they can rule the world. The issue is that they're very unlikely to succeed, and getting stuck on that is really not helpful. As you will see shortly, there is, however, a much more critical and much more effective mark that is already being carried by nearly the entire population of the planet, including most anointed ones, and I'll discuss that shortly. So, technology conclusion: the microchip is not the mark of the beast. A more likely explanation is that someone started off a hoax that has caught on, or a disinformation agency seeking to discredit believers has thrown this out for consumption, or some believer somewhere decided this was the mark and wrote some historical stuff that has grown its own legs, or a combination of factors. Or Satan and his hordes might even have started the story to take people away from considering the real mark. Whatever you have to say about the microchip as the mark of the beast, it is not the mark of the beast. If you fervently believe that it's the mark of the beast, I ask you to think carefully about what I've said so far and what I'm about to say, and realize that it just cannot be. The most that's going to happen with the microchip is that it's going to make a whole lot of believers behave in ways that are perceived to be antisocial and rebellious, and end up with just totally discrediting the Almighty and discrediting the faith. Because the fact of the matter is that educated people who are not into this obsession with the microchip will look at it, and they may not say the same things that I've said, but they will look at it basically and say, this is just a piece of technology. It cannot have some huge spiritual significance. It's just a piece of technology, folks. It cannot be the mark of the beast. So an interim spiritual conclusion. Ultimately, Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, principalities, thrones, and dominions of this dark age. The demonic and satanic messenger or angelic forces in the spirit realm that are opposing the work of Yah on the earth. That's who the battle is with, and a huge part of that battle is around truth. So if you're believing lies about the microchip, you're going to spend a whole lot of time and energy and money doing things that are completely irrelevant and have absolutely no bearing on your standing in heaven and have nothing to do with the battle against the satanic and demonic realm, which is what we're actually called to do. And a key part of that battle is to live lives that are pure and upright, to live without sin, to live without error, to seek truth and not error, to become friends of the Almighty, to build a deep personal relationship with the Almighty. That's what matters, folks, not the microchip. I really pray that after you've listened to this whole message, you will realize that there is something much more important and much more significant than the microchip. So what is the mark? In late 2000, I got on my knees and asked the Almighty, and his answer was, it's in the forehead. It's the thoughts and beliefs that break one or more of the Ten Commandments. It's in the right hand, the things we write and contract that break one or more of the Ten Commandments. It's being carried by almost the entire world population, including virtually all Christians, Muslims, and Jews, including nearly all true believers, and including all anointed ones. It's that simple, folks. If you're not keeping all of the Ten Commandments all of the time, you have the mark of the beast. That's it. If you are truly seeking to serve the Almighty with passion, with intention, with verve, the forces of darkness will do everything they possibly can to stop you engaging in business, unless you are in such right standing that they can't withstand you. If you have sin in your lives, they will take you apart. That's the mark of the beast. In the last couple of messages, I've spoken at length about the commandments. Please visit the W4CY website for the previous messages. So to recap, seek truth and not error. 6,000 years learning about evil and error. Only one human being with no error. Only one spirit being with all error. Seek truth amongst the error. The mark of the beast is not the microchip. The real mark of the beast is breaking one or more of the Ten Commandments and not repenting quickly. So I would suggest to you that a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively seeks truth and eschews the mark of the beast. See the Seek Truth tab on the website and the Commandments Mark of the Beast tab on the website for more information. So if, in the case of the Mark of the Beast, hover over the word Commandments in the menu, and under that you will see the Mark of the Beast on the drop-down list. Folks, I hope that I've managed to communicate to you on these two topics things that are really, really important in terms of living a life above sin, in terms of becoming a friend of the Almighty, in terms of building a deep personal relationship with the Almighty. So just some references that you might like to have a look at. If you, in listening to this program, have decided that you want to do something about your relationship with the Father, first of all, I would encourage you to listen to all of the messages on the W4CY website. Secondly, I would encourage you to download the following four articles off the website. Hover your mouse over the home, word home in the top left-hand corner of the menu on the website, and you will find four articles, amongst other things. The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, a 16-page article with a lot of useful information. Second article, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, about 70 pages of processes, prayers, things you can do to clean up your life and get close to Father. The next article, Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Understanding Father's Name and How It Permeates the Bible, How It Permeates the Long-Term History of Believing Peoples. Where will you spend eternity? Building on the other three. What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of this is available at my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. Behind the homepage menu item, that's www.endtimeissueministries.org. I'm in the process of collating and publishing books of teachings, and those are available from me if you email me. I also have a mailing list, and you're welcome to email me on for that as well, to be put on the mailing list, email mailing list. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. So that's the same URL as above, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and click on the commandments link for more about the Mark of the Beast, and on the Seek Truth link for more about Seek Truth, Not Error. So in closing, I would like to thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them in the next broadcast. Please email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to join the mailing list. As I said, I'm compiling a collection of my writings. Email me if you would like to obtain a copy. The first volume comprises the most important writings, including those just listed, and I hope to publish that within a few months. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I hope that this program has piqued your interest. No matter where you are in your journey with the Almighty, I want to suggest to you, you can get closer to Him. If it's never occurred to you that you could have a deep personal relationship with Him, I encourage you that now is the moment to make a decision to seek that relationship. Download the four documents that I've just referred to. Visit the website. Read the articles. There's well over 1,000 articles in the articles database. There's over 700 pages in the website. Huge amount of information. Ask Father to show you what you need right now. Look at your questions. And just go and browse the website. I really encourage you to start doing everything you can to seek a deep personal relationship with the Almighty right now. Good night. Thank you. Father, I come to you.